born in Mississippi, in thy heart to lose. He hits me to your buggy and drive me like a mule. And I ask you, baby, please let me be your mule. Lord, I ask you, baby, please let me be your kin. Lord, I'm going to do more for you. I'm crying your husband dead. Now all I ask you, baby, please don't you be so bold. Now all I ask you, baby, please don't you be so bold. Got a plenty of time while your man is selling ice and coal. Mississippi woman is the best pipe I ever seen. Now Mississippi woman is the best pipe I ever seen. Now she ain't so good looking, but I swear she do go clean. Mississippi woman, I sure got hate to lose. Now that's just the reason I got the Mississippi blues.
Mississippi Blues, that's the name of that track there from Charlie's Band. Yeah, fine pre-war blues from a disc called Dream in the Blues. Yeah, we also heard from Lizzie Washington in that last set, a St. Louis lady recorded in the late 20s, early 30s, 1927 exactly. That was the Working Man Blues from Lizzie Washington. Well, time for just a little more music. We're going to hear from Little Brother Montgomery next off his disc, No Special Rider. This is the Ferris Street Jive. Yeah, Little Brother Montgomery here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Thank you. The dynamics of the 2024 election are changing as we now get into really the start of these campaigns, past Labor Day, getting closer to the first primary votes. More and more voters are going to be paying attention. And there are a number of storylines, fascinating storylines, that are being turned on their heads, and we're going to talk about them. Storyline one is the Vivek Ramaswamy surge. Story number two is the Nikki Haley surge. And story number three is the alleged desire for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to replace Joe Biden on the Democratic ticket for 2024. Let's start with Vivek Ramaswamy. The story went, Vivek Ramaswamy entered this campaign as an unknown at 1%. And seemingly through grit and will and sheer force of intellectual willpower, he has surged to 7 and now will continue onward and upward, maybe even towards the nomination. Then we see the polling, and then it paints a very different picture. Looking at the polling, it is indeed true that Vivek Ramaswamy started at 1 and did get all the way up to actually almost 8, 7.6 a couple of weeks ago. But then it's been a decline, getting caught lying and equivocating and taking 5 different positions on the same issue, arguing with reporters that he really didn't say the thing that they have him on camera saying. And it seems as though the Vivek campaign is cooling. In parallel to this is Nikki Haley's solid performance at the first Republican debate on August 23rd, and the fact that she now has actually started to see a polling rise that has her almost even with Vivek Ramaswamy. And it is totally plausible that a month from now, it will be Nikki Haley in third place in this Republican primary, not Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, that all being said, we also can't ignore the faltering Ron DeSantis, who has lost more than half of his support from the low 30s at the start of the year, now down to just barely under 14. So in a month, 6 weeks, maybe 8, you could see Trump in first place and Nikki Haley in second place if her trajectory continues and if Ron DeSantis's continues to decline. The reason this is interesting is that Nikki Haley was not seriously considered the strong challenger to Trump in this primary. In fact, her campaign truly seemed dead on arrival. The reason Nikki Haley is so interesting is that this isn't my opinion in terms of who I would vote for. Of course, I would vote for Joe Biden over Nikki Haley. But if I look nationally, Nikki Haley doesn't seem like a super weak challenger to Joe Biden. Now, Biden might defeat both Trump or Nikki Haley or DeSantis or whoever. That may all be the case. But there is some way in which Haley seems potentially better suited to go up against Joe Biden, certainly than someone like Ron DeSantis. So that's one storyline that we're going to continue following. The other storyline is about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. There was a moment, I don't know, somewhere around late April, early May, where there were claims that it's obvious the Democrats want Bobby Kennedy Jr. He's polling 18, 19, 20 in an imaginary Republican primary poll, a poll that is unlikely really to reflect what is going to happen in the DNC because they're not holding an actual primary. And this is clearly reflective of antipathy towards Biden. Now, it is true that there have been polls, some heavily skewed towards Republicans, that say Biden shouldn't run and Biden's too old and all these different things. But what we do know from looking at an average of polls is that Bobby Kennedy Jr. has lost close to 40% of the support he once had. We were suspicious that a bunch of that support was not actually from Democratic primary voters, whether that is or is not the case. Bobby Kennedy Jr. was polling 20 for a while there in late April and early May. He is now down to 12. He is now down to 12. This is another story. Bobby Kennedy quietly losing nearly 40% of the support he had, but the story being told in the media continues to be the same story. Everybody wants him. They see him as an alternative to Biden. They see him as the guy who can really beat Trump and all these other things. He's lost nearly 40% support, but they keep telling the same story. Here he is on Newsmax saying Everybody's scared of him. Take a listen.
I think there's people in the Democratic Party who would rather see Donald Trump as president than have me, because they know he's only going to be there for 4 years. They can fill their coffers during that time, and then they'll have 8 years unobstructed, and maybe that's the plan. I don't know. But I know.
There you go. So they're just scared. People are scared. There are even Democrats who say, if Trump is there, it's only 4 years. Whereas if Bobby Kennedy Jr. gets in there, he might be president for 8 years. And we don't really want that. I have not spoken to a single Democrat that is even thinking in these terms. That's an imaginary story made up by Bobby Kennedy Jr. But the most important aspect to this, almost 40% of his support has evaporated in the last couple of months. It's not really being discussed. The narratives about him are still the same. His campaign increasingly dead in the water. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders is bravely banning vaccine mandates for federal employees, for public employees, not federal, for state employees. How brave of her to do this, except there are no vaccine mandates for public employees. This is another great example of those who attack the left for virtue signaling are actually the ones doing the virtue signaling. Those attacking the left for government overreach, government getting involved in things it need not be involved in, are actually getting involved in things government doesn't need to be involved in. There are no public employee vaccine mandates in Arkansas, just like critical race theory isn't being taught in schools, yet she went out of her way wasting government time to ban that. And then here she is. Take a look at what she had to say.
We also have to be sure that government never again tramples on our liberty like it did during the COVID-19 pandemic. Back then, a handful of bureaucrats shut down our schools, our churches, our businesses, and forced masks on our kids and tried to implement vaccine passports. That will not happen again here in the state of Arkansas. When I took office, I repealed a long list of executive orders related to the pandemic. Now we're going further and banning COVID-19 vaccine mandates for all Arkansas state employees. And our State Department of Health will publicize the potential risks related to the COVID-19 vaccine so that all Arkansans can make informed decisions about their health.
So there are really two stories here. Story number one is these Republicans can't stop killing their own voters. We've looked at the data. New York Times, great piece reviewing a bunch of peer-reviewed studies about this. Lower vaccine acceptance, COVID vaccine, lower COVID vaccine acceptance in Trump counties led to a higher rate of death. Presumably, more Trump voters than Biden voters dying as a result of the lower rate of vaccination. This is not only extremely disheartening and arguably immoral, from a medical standpoint, it is also really stupid politics. Why would you do something and encourage a behavior that is going to disproportionately kill more of your voters than those on the other side? Now, you could take this for what they want you to believe it is, which is this is not about being against vaccines. It's just about vaccine mandates. We want to be against vaccine mandates, give everybody the choice to do whatever they want. Well, it's part of the continued fracturing and balkanization of the states, where you were seeing these types of laws passed, aside from we're against the vaccine versus we're against the mandate. Okay, we've talked about that. But we have a situation with the rise of right-wing extremism, steeped in white nationalism, conspiracy theories, and anti-establishment sentiments that leads to government wastes of time, like we are banning vaccine mandates. It poses a threat to many of the foundational ideals of this country, inclusion, democracy, which is, of course, under threat and almost failed in 2020. And this sort of bill, again, it's not necessary. That's the point. There are no public employee vaccine mandates. It just exacerbates division. It undermines nationwide progress in so many different areas. It impedes healthcare expansion. It gets in the way of climate change efforts, social justice initiatives, which many of the right wingers don't want to see. And so what you end up with this sort of balkanization of U.S. states is fragmentation along political lines, lack of national unity, focusing on a narrow exclusionary agenda, the way, if there's any better example of the focus on a narrow exclusionary agenda than Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Arkansas, I can't think of one. And it simply prevents us from being able to find any sort of common ground. Now, the right will hear me saying this and they'll say, David, you're just wrong. The vaccine mandates are wrong. The point is they don't exist. They don't have them. So what does this actually achieve other than to sow division and disunity and prevent us from doing the things we know we have to do, which is make progress in so many of those areas? And yeah, obviously, as a progressive, I don't like it because it gets in the way of the things I would like to see done. Let's get healthcare to everybody. Let's fix education. Let's do something about climate, et cetera, et cetera. But these are the virtue signaling, grasping at straws, last gasps, hopefully, of a Republican Party that has failed on policy. So this is all that they have left. The David Pakman Show is, of course, an audience-funded program to get the full experience, meaning the daily hour show without the commercials, as well as the bonus show, an extra show we do every single day. Sign up at joinpakman.com. Even though prices have been flat for a decade, with the launch of the new website in a month or two, prices of membership will be going up for the first time in a decade. Talk about inflation-proof. But in all seriousness, great opportunity to get in at the current prices, and you can even get a further discount off of current prices by using the coupon code 4 years for indictments. And speaking of that, we were on the ground in South Dakota over the weekend for the failed former president, twice impeached, four times indicted and arrested, civilly liable rapist Donald Trump. That's the guy. But before we get to our interviews with Trumpists, we have to look at this totally farcical attempt at a speech by the failed former president. Donald Trump apparently thought, hey, I don't know, between arrests and criminal trials, I'll head out to South Dakota and do a speech. Kristi Noem will endorse me and she's going to, you know, be a brown nosing sycophant the way she's been and the entire thing. This could not have gone more poorly for Trump. Rambling incoherently. Take a look at this. Does anyone know what this is about?
Remember Hillary with the thing with the women screaming, that one woman with the glasses, she's become famous? No, no. That was the most beautiful stage I've ever seen. By the end of the evening, it didn't look pretty. They rigged the presidential election.
Any idea what on earth Trump is talking about? And you'll notice that during the Newsmax broadcast, if you're watching, a phone number, they were, what strange times we're living in. Alongside the Trump speech was a Rudy Giuliani legal defense fund promotion on the side of the screen. Truly incredible stuff. Next, Donald Trump arguing that because Joe Biden is getting him indicted, when he is president again, he will just call and demand the indictment of people. This is the dangerous dictatorial stuff I was telling you about last week.
91 fake and phony charges, 91. How many charges are there? But we're going to ask for dismissals of a lot of it. Most of it is just, you ask for dismissal. It's called dismiss the charges. But remember, it's a Democrat charging his opponent. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. That means that if I win and somebody wants to run against me, I call my attorney general. I say, listen, indict him. Oh, he hasn't done anything wrong that we know of. I don't know. Indict him on income tax evasion. You'll figure it out.
There you go. There you go.
I did everything right and they indicted me.
Trump openly saying, I'll just have my political opponents indicted. Of course, there is no evidence that Joe Biden has been involved in any of the four criminal indictments of Trump. If anybody has such evidence, please forward it to me. Trump then reviews or refreshes, rehabilitates the tired lie that he's being indicted for speech, for things he said.
And, you know, I used to treat him with a modicum of respect because I have respect for the office of the presidency, and I would never talk the way I talk now. But when they indicted me for nothing, for free speech, I said the election was rigged and stolen, which it was, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows it. Free speech.
Whether or not you know that, whether or not you believe it, it does not matter. I'm not going to belabor it because you all know, I've talked about it so many times. Donald Trump has not been indicted federally nor in Georgia because he believed the election was stolen. Whether it was or wasn't, whether he knew he was lying or not, it does not matter. Trump was not indicted for that reason. He was indicted for the criminal conspiracy to send fake electors forward, to defraud those who voted, to strong arm elected officials, all of those different things. Trump then goes on to talk about how there are so commonly people who just leave politics when they get in legal trouble. But Trump isn't going to be bullied around in that way.
My case is unusual, but maybe at some point that switches. You know, you go with these people and they're sick. They say this, that, and that. And you have to prove.
By the way, during this part of the speech, the crowd was completely dead.
But it's incredible. But if you take a look at what they do to the publicity of a person, and I know numerous people over the years that I've really thought were honest in many cases, and they were literally out of politics in a matter of hours. Some of them literally quit immediately upon getting served with a subpoena. That won't happen with me.
There you go. Crowd coming to life. Trump won't leave no matter what they've got him on. Trump then bringing up the topic of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un and says that with Kim Jong-un, I guess he thinks Kim Jong-un is going to build luxury condos on the beach. It's all so disjointed that not even the crowd understands.
I went over there. You remember that? It was a very historic moment. Went over there. And I said to Kim Jong-un, you know, being a real estate guy, it's just sort of natural. I said, you have the most beautiful shoreline. Think of it. You're between China, Russia, and South Korea. Look at the beautiful shore. You could have the most beautiful condos that you've ever seen and become rich as hell. You don't have to live like you're living. But he's a tough guy. He's a smart guy. And he just loves collecting nuclear weapons. That's what he does. He collects nuclear weapons. And we got along incredibly well once we met and once we started the whole thing. And we saved the Olympics in South Korea because nobody was going. Nobody wanted to be blown out of the stadium. And we came along. They actually participated in the Olympics. We had a great relationship, and it would have been great if we would have had a deal done long ago.
Yep, it's just all so great with Kim Jong-un. Trump then going into the dramatic conspiracy QAnon music and weirdly focusing on the fact that many militaries are moving in the direction of electric tanks. This is so stupid.
And now we are a nation that wants to make our great army tanks all electric, so that despite the fact that they will not be able to go very far either, few pollutants will be released into the air as we blast our way through enemy territory. And also, we are a nation who wants to make our jet fighters with a green energy stamp.
This is all just so stupid. So listen, I don't even know why Trump is talking about this. Electric tanks are quieter. With infrared technology, they're also more difficult to locate. Like, not that we need to be doing military strategy on this show. Certainly, they're more efficient in general. Electric vehicles are more efficient per mile than internal combustion engines, gas powered, diesel powered, etc. And by the way, lots of other countries that Trump is worried we are falling behind, including China, are already going forward with this technology. So I don't know. You know, you never really know how Trump becomes fixated on some of these things, but he does. But he does. Trump then lastly talking about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. He says, you know, it didn't help Republicans, but it was the right thing.
And I'm going to tell you something, because it's really a positive. It's a big positive, but they try and play it as a negative. Last year, those justices bravely and incredibly ruled on something that everybody has wanted for decades, for 51 years. They ruled to end Roe v. Wade. That was a big threat.
Crowd loves that, that's for sure.
And it's probably cost us politically because the other side got energized. And, you know, they're the radicals, not the pro-lifers. But now pro-lifers have a tremendous power to negotiate. They have a power. You had no power to negotiate because with Roe v. Wade, you couldn't negotiate. They could do anything they wanted. We didn't have any of that before this ruling. This moves the issue back to the states where every legal scholar said it should be. And like President Ronald Reagan, good man, but like Ronald Reagan before me, I support the three exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. I support. Not everybody does. I think a large portion do.
Little smattering of applause there for him. All right.
I think you should, but again, that's your own feeling. Remember, the Democrats are the radicals on this issue because they're willing to kill babies in their fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth month, and even after birth.
Now, of course, we've discussed this extensively. There is no afterbirth abortion. It's by definition not an abortion, but it's also not happening. Also, we've talked about 9-month abortion, 8-month abortion. Something like 93% of abortions are before 14 weeks. And then the vast majority of that remaining 7 are the immediate period after that. And these 8-9 month situations are extraordinarily rare. They're related to the health either of the fetus or the mother. This is an entire made up story. But Trump may be right that Republicans did not benefit from the repeal of Roe v. Wade in those midterms. So another disastrous rally. Is Trump's heart even in it, given that he's between arrest and trial and potentially facing life in prison? I don't know, but the cultists were out. And that's what I want to talk about next. A Trump cultist broke down in tears at Trump's latest unhinged rally in South Dakota. We also had just about every other combination of statement and lunacy that you could imagine. We're going to start with this woman just overcome with emotion when interviewed by Right Side Broadcasting, because she would be able to see the great orange leader.
Thoughts about the fact that you've never seen, let's be real, the leader of the free world.
I'm very excited and hopeful. It gives me hope and security and just stability.
I like what you said. I mean, it's a very authentic answer.
You might know that the word stability is not a word I'm familiar with, but I don't want to impose the dictionary on other people. People always get mad, but stability is not a word I know.
Because it's authentic in the sense of safety and hope. I mean, isn't that something that everybody needs right now?
We all need it. We do.
So why are you being emotional right now?
I have a lot of grandkids and a lot going on in schools and the community and the state.
What would you like to say to just people out there?
I love all you guys.
In general, that are dealing with things that are concerning, like yourself. What would be your message? If you could step this way a little bit.
To pray and be strong and support and be involved. Be involved.
And you're a praying woman too, yeah?
Yes.
Well, I'll just go out and pray in Jesus' name for what's going on.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We stand strong. We're not going to be moved.
That's right. God is our refuge and strength.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen.
Go Trump.
Yeah, go Trump.
Yeah. Go Trump, by the way. Yeah, go to Trump. Oh, I bought his knife also. It's a cult, right? I mean, what can I tell you? What can I tell you? Here's a guy who says he'd vote for Trump even if Trump were in prison.
Hey, I'm great tonight.
I know. You know, some people say it's Trump-tastic. Are you Trump-tastic?
I am Trump-tastic.
Are you Trump-alicious? Are you totally Trumpified? Hell.
I tell you what, the next president of the United States.
And your hat says, I stand with Trump.
You bet I do. I'd vote for that guy if he's in prison.
So would I.
Where he's at, I'll vote for that guy.
You and me both. So
there you go. Some really, truly heroic moments. at this rally. Here's a woman who was drinking alcohol during the interview. You know, it seems inappropriate to comment on states of inebriation, believed or perceived or whatever. So I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to say is this is a woman who appears to be drinking alcohol during the interview.
Annie Trump. Are you a Trump?
Well, I want to be.
Yeah, well, you know.
Like Donald, I think.
We could all be cousins somewhere down the line.
All right. Are we on RSBN?
Yeah, we're live right now.
Nice. I want a farm all, a John Deere, a Case, more oil.
Drill, baby, drill.
Yes, thank you.
She's excited to...
There you go. Oil. So what she meant was she wants oil. That's what she was asking for. Here's a guy at the rally who wants a Christian theocracy. We need Trump because we need Christ. That's the bottom line. He also is wearing a cross necklace and a shirt with crosses on it. So you know that this is a Christ-like individual.
We don't need politicians to run this country because all they are up for themselves. They're not for the people. Right. President Trump, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the glory. He doesn't need to be doing this. He's doing it because he loves our country. He loves our people. And he can't stand to see where everybody is. And his plan is awesome. Everybody just needs to get on board. The way, I guess, the woke is, the progressive left. this country is built on Christ. And we need to get back to that.
In God we trust.
In God we trust. And as soon as we get back to that, I guarantee you, God will take care of us. And we'll take care of everything else that's going on. We just need to believe. And a lot of people, that's what's getting me through it. That's what getting our family through it is our trust in God.
There you go. If it weren't for his trust in God, he might be upset that Trump is facing 4 criminal indictments. It is, frankly, really sad that people are this deluded. And that's how it is with cults. And it's super simple. Cult followers often become deluded. They become completely unable to have a separate thought from their leader because they're isolated from outside perspectives. Now, these folks aren't literally isolated physically, but they're isolated ideologically in their social media circles, in their communities, etc. Isolation from outside perspectives and having those other perspectives demonized preemptively by the cult leader, the fake news media, the Democrats, the Marxists, the communists, the anarchists, they're all going to lie to you. Charismatic leadership that exploits the emotional vulnerabilities. I'm not going to insult this guy. But if you believe the stuff this guy believes about the way the world works, you are emotionally vulnerable. It's just the reality. We don't have to go in and become ad hominem, but this is clearly a vulnerable individual. Repetitive indoctrination, which just replaces and supplants critical thinking. Hearing the same messages over and over again. Trump's been giving the same speech for 2-3 years now. And then, of course, group pressure that discourages dissent. And for a guy like this, it could be in his church, the people he's friends with on Facebook, the people surrounding him at the rally itself. This is how cult members become deluded. And lastly, here is a guy saying, why do you want Trump back as president? And he says, well, because of everything that's going on, you know, Biden and Hunter, and we just need him back.
It's about Trump winning in 2020. Yeah,
I believe he did.
Yeah,
I do.
And some of your thoughts right now with the country.
We need Trump back. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Why do we need President Trump back in the White House?
Whoa, that's a follow-up. Why?
Just because of everything that's going on, you know, the Biden, you know, and Hunter and, you know, all that corruption. Yeah. I mean, it's there.
Yep. We need Trump back desperately because of the Biden and Hunter and the corruption. A beautiful final point reminding us that these people vote. One of the things about this country is you don't have to have a good reason for voting for whoever you want to vote for. You're allowed to vote. And so we'd better damn well vote. All of these clips will be on our Instagram, our TikTok, Snapchat. Make sure you're following us on YouTube at youtube.com/TheDavidPackmanShow. After this short break, our correspondent Luke Beasley on the ground for this rally. It got ugly. It got dangerous. It got scary. Stay with us. We were on the ground for Trump's rally speech in South Dakota, where one MAGA said that Joe Biden should be killed for treason. These people vote. We are going to review all of it. Our correspondent, of course, Luke Beasley, on the ground there. You can find Luke's YouTube channel doing a hell of a job at davidpakman.com/Luke. Here is a man who straight up says Biden committed treason and should be killed. They're briefly interrupted by an argument in the background. It was just like a total circus atmosphere. Let's just jump right into what is extraordinarily disturbing content.
Tell me three Democratic policies that you support.
Inflation Reduction Act, American Rescue Plan, the Infrastructure Law, the PACT Act, the Chips and Science Act. I think it's good that Biden pulled out of Afghanistan. I can go on.
Wow.
The guy is disgusted that Luke is naming policies, I guess.
Okay, would you like to talk about the pullout of Afghanistan?
Why did you feel bothered that I just listed policies I think are good?
Because
I think it's great that he lowers prescription drug costs.
You don't know enough about those policies.
So one of them in the Inflation Reduction Act is capping the cost of insulin for Medicare recipients at $35 out of pocket per month. And I think that's really good. I don't think seniors should be having themselves price gouged. And then also now Medicare can negotiate drug prices. They rolled out the first 10 medications they're going to negotiate. So now Medicare will negotiate drug prices. I think that's really good because of Joe Biden and Democrats.
I think Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. I think the election was stolen, and I think he's going to be killed for his treason.
That escalates very quickly. The guy says to Luke, all right, well, if Biden's so good, can you name a single policy you like? Yeah, here's five. Forget about policy. He should be killed. They continue talking, and the guy explains, you know, all about Biden's treason, for which he should be killed.
Election was stolen. I'm assuming that's part of the treason.
Well, that is treason. Election interference is treason.
Right. So you agree, though,
yeah,
right,
in no official capacity has that been proven.
You can't prove a negative, Ed.
So he drops in, you know, you're an S head to Luke. Of course, this completely ignores burden of proof. If one believes that the election was stolen, then they presumably believe it because of some evidence which they should be able to present. And if they believe it just because they feel it was stolen but have no evidence, then that is not really something the legal system can work with.
You cannot prove something that
no, I'm saying
say it's been proven that it did not happen.
I'm saying that if there indeed was this widespread voter fraud that stole the election from Trump, we have a legal process where you can bring that
into
court.
That's right. And Mike Pence
was supposed
to do that,
and he didn't. Even Trump appointed judges said, Matt, nothing here.
We'll see.
That's what happened 60 plus times.
We'll see.
What does that mean?
We'll see if it's adjudicated. I mean, afterwards, they might want to go back.
No, but I'm saying
it's been adjudicated, but they just might go back and re-adjudicate all those cases. Why? I don't know. They just might.
Now, 3 years away from the election?
I know. You think it would have happened by now, right? You think they think something would have been done about this?
Maybe.
He's arguing that everything's A-OK, nothing to see here.
All right, some other guy then jumps in, and things are going haywire. So this is really tough to deal with these folks. Luke next spoke to a guy wearing a T-shirt that has Trump's mugshot on it that says never surrender. Luke points out Trump did surrender. He literally surrendered at Fulton County Jail. And this one's really a doozy.
You want to explain the shirt?
Yeah, well, you know, never surrender. That's what Trump is saying he's not going to do. I mean, he's been indicted for crimes that he didn't commit. Mm-hmm.
I have to point out, he did surrender technically at the Fulton County Jail, right?
He did abide by the law as required by the law. Yeah. I think he's setting a good example for our country by doing.
He will never surrender other than when he was right to surrender.
But then abiding by the law as being interpreted by the prosecutors would mean not doing what he did that they're prosecuting him for, right?
Could you repeat that? There was noise behind it.
I also agree that individuals should abide by the law, and prosecutors are alleging that he broke the law in his actions in relation to trying to overthrow the election and classify documents and some other things.
Yeah, I mean, I think the charges against him are laughable and ridiculous.
This esteemed legal expert does not buy these charges. He's putting us on notice. Good for him.
It Why would they have brought these charges against him right in the middle of a campaign? It's election interference. If it was actually anything that had to do with reality, they would have done it long ago. It
takes a while to do an investigation, right?
Well, really? I mean...
So this gets back to, no matter when they would have brought the charges, these folks would have complained. And it's sort of by design. I mean, Trump announcing so early that he's running for re-election to create a situation where any charges that are brought in as Trump is a candidate. And if we said, okay, let's wait and let the 2024 election happen, Trump wins and becomes president. Oh, well, now he's president. Now you definitely can't bring the charges. But even if Trump loses in 2024, listen, he's now just an old man who is out of politics. Why go after him now? That would also be wrong. No matter when the charges would be brought, they would say this. And most importantly, there is not actually any evidence that the timing was calculated beyond simply how much time do we need to do these investigations, and investigations of different durations being completed at different points in time. There may be future indictments. There could be another federal indictment. There could be one out of Arizona. There's discussions of Michigan. We don't know. There is no evidence at this time that anyone has presented of Joe Biden's involvement, nor of the idea that it was timed specifically to hurt Donald Trump. We go to the next guy. Here's a guy who is asked about impeachment. He's just clueless. There's really no other way to say it. He just doesn't know what's going on, but he's very certain that he is right.
What evidence do you have to bolster the idea that this isn't just a fair prosecution based on violations of the law?
They have no evidence to support it.
The indictments lay out.
They've been trying to impeach him so many times, and he doesn't get impeached.
Well, he got impeached, but this isn't impeachment. This is prosecution.
What?
Huh?
This is unrelated to impeachment. This is a prosecution.
It's because they don't want him to win. They know he's going to win again.
Right.
But in, for example, the classified documents indictment, it lays out violations of the law as being alleged in the indictment.
Uh-huh.
And so you're saying those don't exist, or they don't actually violate the law, or what's going on there?
I don't think they exist.
So like the audio tape of Trump saying that he has a classified document and it's, I could have declassified it, but I can't anymore because I'm no longer president.
What that Biden's son's been doing with Ukraine?
Well, there hasn't been evidence.
This is whataboutism now. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no defense to it. Here's something different.
To prove that something illegal went on in between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden.
Of course there hasn't, because that's Biden.
But Hunter Biden did something illegal with the gun. He's being prosecuted for it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, whatever. Doesn't know what's going on, but they vote. Here's conspiracy guy who says Alex Jones told him in the 90s that in 2014, Obama would send the virus somewhere to generate lockdowns in 2020. It's very difficult to follow.
Alex Jones warned me on video of the virus they were going to use to destroy the country in the late 90s. So he gave me a lot of time to prepare for all your guys.
They were going to... Me? Okay. I didn't create the vaccine.
Young, but...
I was concocting the vaccine in the 90s before I was born.
No, but I mean, you're all about whatever you're about.
So who created the virus?
I hope you're sitting down for this.
2014, they shipped it over there, I guess.
Who?
UNC. Fauci handed it, the NIH, the CDC, FDA.
So Fauci wanted to start COVID because...
Obama moved the vaccine over...
Obama wanted to start COVID.
He was the president in 2014, right?
Okay, and what would be the end goal there?
Oh, to lock down the country.
Don't you understand? Fauci planned the virus in the 90s. Obama shipped it to China, I guess, in 2014, in order to lock down the country. Except the lockdowns, to the extent that they happened, took place under Trump's watch. Trump actually, quote, locked down the country. This is some very, very wild stuff. And what's important to remember is we're not ridiculing when we say these people vote. If we don't vote, we cede the power to determine who represents us: president, Senate, House of Representatives, mayors, governors, city council. These folks decide. And it's not about making fun of this guy, although there's a lot of material there. It's about, if we don't vote, they decide. And that's crazy. Here's more from the same guy.
I think it's important not to intertwine a bunch of conspiracy theories about what the machines are doing. No, I'm saying we can have a conversation about do we want machines or do we not, but that should be connected to a bunch of defamation against companies like Dominion.
Defamation? Oh, yeah, I'm going to sue them. I'm going to sue them for destroying my election.
Okay, and why do you think Fox News, which could have been a defense for the defamation lawsuit.
Oh, Fox News.
So, by the way, he's now against Fox. Now Fox News is fixed news.
He said Fox News. Fox News, yeah. What about him?
Why wouldn't they have just gone into court and proved that the machines were stealing the election from Trump?
It was a payoff to Dominion for $700 million.
No, because they settled.
So, think about what Luke is pointing out, something very important, which is there's a defense to defamation, which is showing the truth of the things you said. The reason that Fox News was sued and ultimately settled for $787.5 billion was that they did not apparently feel they had at their disposal as a defense to the defamation claim from Dominion, that Dominion voting machines really did the things that were alleged on air. If Fox News had proof of that, they could have made that case. So Luke says, they could have avoided that huge payout, nearly $800 million, just by proving the voting machines really did the thing that you're saying. And the guy says, well, no, that's because it was a payoff to Dominion. Well, but they wouldn't have needed to do the payoff if they demonstrated that the thing really just over the guy's head.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that
Martha McCallum and them ran cover. And then they said Trump lost. And it was a payoff. It was a backdoor payoff.
So here's what happened. On election night, they ran cover for the election being stolen. Then after election night, they pushed conspiracy theories about the election being stolen, the opposite of what they did on election night. And then after that, they flipped around and admitted they were lying to protect themselves legally, and they had to settle with Dominion.
I don't know what Fox News did.
Oh, that's genius. At the end of it all, when it all falls apart, he's like, hey, listen, I don't know what the hell they did. It's anyone's guess what they did. Here's the last guy. This guy tries to pull out some election fraud nonsense on Luke. Luke's ready for it. Doesn't go well.
For example, Trump's attempts to overturn the election. Wrong. So to protest against that, I would say would be correct, right?
Well, you're saying that he tried to overturn an election. What election are you trying to say you overturned? 2020? So you haven't heard anything about election fraud that's happening at all?
Well, I look to all the recounts, investigations, audits, and court cases.
Have you watched the Georgia election? Did you see where they pulled the ballots out from under the cabinet?
And they realized that was debunked.
They scanned them and scanned them and re-scanned them and re-scanned them. You know that lady got arrested, right?
Don't you think if that actually happened? I know a lot of people are suing for defamation because of lies about people like that. No.
Yeah, she definitely got arrested.
Who, Ruby Freeman?
Ruby, yeah, she definitely got arrested.
It turned out that even Giuliani acknowledged he was lying.
True.
He lost a defamation case, and in that case, he had to concede that he was not correct about those statements about Ruby Freeman.
Oh, no, she's definitely been arrested.
She hasn't.
And it is true. It is absolutely true what Luke Beasley is saying. He even had the proof up on the screen during this. So what are the takeaways here? The takeaways here are numerous, but the most important actionable one, you know, I get that these videos are a combination of sort of entertaining disaster porn, but also potentially the last gasps of American democracy, as these are the people who are glad to look the other way or even participate when it comes to saying, hey, you know what? The guy who lost should become president, which is one of the most dangerous things that you can do to a democracy. So the most important practical takeaway is we all need to vote, because when we don't vote, these are the people who decide. But that, of course, isn't enough. And we need to fix critical thinking. Even though these people might not want everybody to have health care, we still have to work to get everybody health care. Even though these folks don't want to fix education, we still have to work to fix education and do something about the climate. So the takeaway is, we don't want this to be the group of folks that guides the country and influences policy and decides who represents us. So as demoralizing as it can be to see this, it should actually be a reminder to get engaged. And on that note, make sure you're following Luke, davidpakman.com/Luke. We are ramping up an election season here, maybe the most important one I will have ever covered. Make sure you are subscribed to this YouTube channel. 3.5 million of you in the last month watched my clips, but are not subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. Let's get to 2 million. Let's do this thing. We've got to continue building independent media, because what we're doing quite literally is fighting against these folks being the ones who decide. We can't have that. And every time you subscribe to this channel, to Luke's channel, to other progressive channels, you're taking a half step in that direction. Quick break. So much more right after this. MyPillow CEO and founder Mike Lindell melting down in a bonkers deposition. This is recently released video from an March deposition of Pillow. He has been a guest on this program twice. Quite frankly, I find him to be a sad character. I think he's actually lost his marbles and really believes all of this election fraud stuff that he's been pushing. In any case, Mike Lindell got really mad when the lawyer deposing him in this deposition mentions the customer support line and the process where you can say, hey, I want to talk to Mike. I need Mike's help. And mentioned pillows being lumpy. And Mike Pillow, they don't call him Pillow for nothing. He takes his pillows very seriously. Listen to this.
Okay, and I'm not asking about the lumpy pillow calls.
No, they're not lumpy pillows. That's not what they call on, okay? When you say lumpy pillows, now you're an asshole. You got that? You're an asshole is what you are. Mike, no, sorry. He's an asshole. No, he's an ambulance chasing asshole. That's what you are. Lumpy pillows, kiss my ass. Put that in your book. No, they answer anything, any problem customer that wants to reach Mike Lindell. Those are the ones. I want to talk to Mike Lindell. I want to talk to Mike Lindell. They send them to here and they go, or they call about maybe they didn't get their pillow on time because of the FedEx or whatever. Well, we'll cover them even though it could be somebody else's fault. Nobody called because of a lumpy pillow.
Right.
But good one, though.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
What I'm saying,
obviously, you don't have a My Pillow too. You don't, do you?
What I'm saying is, Mr.
I think he's got the lawyer there. It certainly doesn't sound like the lawyer has a My Pillow. So listen, the company really is failing. And Mike Pillow has talked about how he's invested wasted 35, 40 million of his own money pushing these election fraud conspiracies. He's completely debased himself with more than half the country, probably 3/4 of the country. His company is at risk of going bankrupt. They had a fire sale on a bunch of their equipment, their Sprinter vans, and a whole bunch of other stuff recently. So I actually do feel bad for the employees to the extent that, you know, they're just trying to make a living, you know, put food on their family, the way George W. Bush once famously said. I feel bad for them. And Mike Pillow appeared with Steve Bannon recently to say he's going to try to turn the entire thing around. His employees are worried and the whole thing. But he has a new type of pillow now. Body pillows, which might save the company, I guess.
Company's being shut down. You know, you're going bankrupt. This thing's all spun out of control. Where are the heads right now of the employees? How are they taking this?
Yeah.
Well, they're very encouraged because, like I say, we just expanded. These guys are manufacturers. They make pillows. They make beds. They make bed toppers. And they're all very encouraged now that we've expanded that MyPillow 2.0 line to include body pillows, the go anywhere pillows. And so, you know, with anything they read in the media, this gives them confidence that, hey, their jobs are going to be there. They've been there. Some of them have been with me, Steve, 20 years. When you get a job at MyPillow, it's a career. And I do everything I can to protect them. And if I have to keep passing the savings on, you know, we don't have the middleman. So I guess we got to take advantage of that. By everyone out there, you're helping out these great employees and you're helping out MyPillow. And anything that comes through to me, you know what I'm doing with it. I'm helping to secure our election platforms.
Right. So basically, it sounds like he's saying first the employees will get their salaries, but then anything Pillow gets goes to his election fraud stuff. And the body pillows imminently will be saving the company. I'm going to be very honest with everybody. I see Pillow as a sad guy. And we know about his history of drug addiction, and I'm not saying that that's what's going on now, but he just seems misguided. He does seem to believe this stuff. We've had him on the show twice. I talked to him before and after the appearances. He really strikes me as genuine in all of this stuff that he says, and it's just sad because he's ruined his relationships with his family from what we know. He's ruining his company. He's potentially going to put however many 700 or 1,500 people that work for him out of jobs. I see it as all very sad. And also, if he got his way, he would completely corrode democracy in America. So we don't want him to get his way. But something, my empathy gene is somehow kicking on when I see what I consider to be very sad interviews. Let me know if you agree or disagree. Donald Trump got a very special, brutal welcome to sports. He tried going to a football game in Iowa, Iowa versus Iowa State. This is college football. And he was brutally, brutally booed. There are cheers as well, I won't lie. But there are a lot of boos there. Listen to this. Yeah, there you go. One other clip here. So listen, I won't be the one that says there are no cheers there. There are obviously some cheers there, but there are a lot of boos. You can also see people flipping off Trump. At one point, Trump was behind glass, and there are a bunch of middle fingers there being pointed in the direction of Trump. At another moment, there was a particular woman with a double middle finger in the direction of Trump, which is really, really a lot. And as a general thing, you know, oftentimes people just don't like politicians at their sporting events. So I would be lying if I said this was unique to Trump or unique to Iowa or unique to Republicans or unique to college football or whatever. It is very common that when elected officials go to sporting events, they get at least booed to some degree. There are some exceptions. Trump going to UFC events, they seem to love Trump at UFC. When George W. Bush, after 9/11, threw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium, uniformly cheered, from what I recall. You can find that video on YouTube. So some exceptions, but it's very common that politicians get booed at sporting events. DeSantis also experiencing some middle fingers when he tried to participate in sports ball watching and relate to the normal people as robotic as he is. So this is funny. There is a bigger story here, which is Iowa, a red state, a state Trump easily won in 2020. Might Democrats do better in states like Iowa in 2024 than they have historically done? We just don't know. We don't have polling on this yet. We have primary polling out of Iowa. Trump versus DeSantis. Trump is plus 37 in Iowa right now over DeSantis. I don't have anything new. There's some polling Biden versus Trump. I think it's months and months old out of Iowa. It's not worth very much right now. We are going to have to wait and see. But one of the most interesting stories, assuming that we avoid the threat of an anti-democratic explosion, the likes of which we may never have seen before if Trump wins, it will be an interesting curiosity to see. Do Democrats perform better in some historically red states, Iowa being one of those? Trump should probably avoid going to sporting events for the foreseeable future. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192-DAVID-P. Here's a request that I weigh in on that new viral country music sensation. Take a listen to this.
Hi, Dave. I need your opinion on the song Rich Men North of Richmond. That bearded hillbilly guy, I'm sure a sweet man, wrote this song about the rich people north of Richmond, like the D.C. guys that make all the laws. And we have the poor people that are south of Richmond, right? Anyway, this guy won't do any interviews anywhere. He says it's about all the rich people, politicians, Democrats and Republicans, okay? Supposed to be for all the people. Yet the only interview he does is on the Joe Rogan show. Did you hear that one? This dude is no liberal, and he is not fighting for black people, and he's not fighting for poor people that are north of Richmond, okay? He's just fighting for the poor people south of Richmond. Uh-oh, I gave you my opinion. I wanted to hear your opinion on this guy. Sorry, Shalom.
All right. So listen, I'm going to be very honest. Rich Men North of Richmond by Oliver Anthony. I think it's a terrible song. I really do. Now, I'm going to be very upfront with everybody. I think most country music is terrible. And as many in the audience might think, I don't know that going to Jewish people for opinions about country music is the right way to go. I mean, and I'm not kidding. It's sort of a joke, but it's also not. Like, if you look at the cultural background and history of Jews, particularly, you know, from Eastern Europe, and you look at the kind of roots of country music and the heavy Christian influence on country music and all these different things, the themes, the I just don't know that Jewish folks are like the big audience for country music. I don't want to generalize, but certainly for me, growing up, that's a thing. I think the song is absolutely terrible, and I don't really have much more to say about it. I don't like it. I saw a little bit of that interview that Oliver Anthony did with Joe Rogan. I found it extraordinarily milquetoast in the worst way. And that's where I'm at. It's my opinion, okay? I gave my opinion and they attacked me.
I did everything right and they indicted me.
Right. We've got a great bonus show for you today. A judge has rejected Mark Meadows' effort to move the Georgia racketeering case to federal court. Judge says no, it's going to remain a state case. Bad news for Mark Meadows. Number two, explosive allegations against Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. And I care about this because it's a labor story to me. I don't watch any of these shows, but there is an interesting labor story there, which we will talk about on the bonus show. And thirdly, the new COVID boosters are rolling out in the UK, expected in the US very soon. The new variant is here. People are panicking. Other people are not panicking. What's going on? What's the latest information? What about the rise of RSV and flu? We're going to talk about all of it. And I will finally address, am I getting my flu shot? Am I getting my booster? Am I getting an RSV vaccine? I'm not. I think it's just for like super little kids and 65 plus. So I'm not getting RSV vaccine. Don't even know that it's available to me. All of those stories and more on the bonus show.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money. Everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
We're here all week. Sign up at joinpacman.com. I've received a few emails over the last couple of days, especially this morning and last night, about a new clip from Brett and Heather Weinstein, or I guess it's Brett Weinstein and Heather Haying. I think they have different last names. Their Dark Horse podcast, and folks asking me to weigh in about this and a little bit more generally about Brett. Listen, historically, I've liked Brett Weinstein and thought he had a lot of interesting things to say and actually asked interesting questions, not bad faith questions. You know how sometimes where it's like, this man says he had sex with Obama, but CNN won't cover it. Why not? Asks Tucker Carlson. And it's like a completely bad faith question about a debunked convicted con man. Okay, we dealt with that earlier this week. Sometimes people ask questions in bad faith. Some years ago, I thought that Brett Weinstein was actually asking some really interesting questions about different things, even if I didn't agree with the direction that things were going as he explored the answers to those questions. Some of the recent stuff is a combination of everybody is against me, like Twitter and YouTube and all the mysterious things are happening, searches I didn't do are popping up on my laptop, like just really paranoid stuff. And listen, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't after you, but just really out there stuff. And then now coming up with some COVID vaccine and test claims for which there's just no evidence. And again, I don't have a problem with asking questions, but at a certain point when we have zero evidence to just say, well, I'm just asking questions and the fact that we don't have answers is part of the conspiracy is problematic. What am I talking about? Here's the first clip. Brett and Heather are talking about COVID tests. And Brett raises the idea that the tests are deliberately unreliable. So that if you want to say there's tons of cases for political gain, you can. And if you want to say there's very few cases for political gain, you can. I believe that that's the point he's making. I'm going to play it for you now.
Is it possible that really noisy COVID tests are a feature and not a bug because it allows you to claim anything at any moment? Mm-hmm. Right. And I have a sense of foreboding around the upcoming 14 months that the U.S. presidential election is going to create a fertile landscape for psychological operations of many kinds. We're going to have many claims of misdis and malinformation over Presumably true things will be dismissed, false things will be portrayed, all of the usual stuff. And the ability to have a viral boogeyman that you can call forth at any moment by declaring that some set of illness is this thing may be the reason that the tests aren't any good. Because if we, you know, if you could just simply go to CVS and buy a test that was reliable enough that, you know, it really gave you a confidence that you either did or didn't have the thing, then we'd be in a very different place because we would actually be able to generate information about what is or isn't circulating.
Yeah. So listen, Brett's not wrong that the tests have been all over the place. I've told stories. I mean, just look at my stories alone. When I went to Spain in 2021, when you needed a negative test to come back, we got these tests, my girlfriend and I, where you do a video conference and they watch you.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
It was always a myth that you will have such forums for international economic cooperation running at the, with the exclusion of large parts of the world. Now we are moving towards a direction that includes those parts of the world that were excluded.
As the African Union joins the G20 as a permanent member, we'll take a close look at the G20 summit, which just wrapped up in India, including Chinese President Xi Jinping's absence, how the summit fell short on addressing the climate emergency, and why Russia is praising the G20's final statement on the war in Ukraine. Then to Santiago, Chile, to look at how Henry Kissinger and President Nixon supported a coup in Chile 50 years ago this week, when General Augusto Pinochet ousted the democratically elected President Salvador Allende.
The 50th anniversary of the coup in Chile is an extraordinarily important date, not only for Chileans, but for the rest of the world that is struggling with democracy versus the forces of authoritarianism.
And as interest begins accruing again on federal student loans, we'll speak to Astra Taylor, author of the new book, The Age of Insecurity, Coming Together as Things Fall Apart.
My new book, The Age of Insecurity, looks at the way our economy is structured to make us all insecure by design, or what I call manufactured insecurity. Capitalism thrives on bad feelings, on making us feel like we'll never have enough or be enough, or that the rug could be pulled out from under us at any moment. And I think recognizing this is actually very essential to building the solidarity that we need to address the various political crises that we're facing today.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Thousands of people are feared dead in Libya after a powerful Mediterranean cyclone brought devastating flooding to the eastern port city of Derna. Libya's National Center of Meteorology says the storm dumped more than 16 inches of rain on the city in less than 24 hours, causing two dams to burst, washing away entire neighborhoods. On Monday, a spokesperson for the Libyan National Army put the death toll in the thousands.
The latest update regarding the death toll, as the Prime Minister of Libya announced, exceeds 2,000 in Derna city alone. May they rest in peace. There are also in Derna thousands of missing people, some 5,000 to 6,000 missing people, and this number could largely increase.
Libya's Red Crescent said the number of missing people has reached 10,000, with at least 20,000 displaced from their homes. Much of Libya's infrastructure has crumbled since 2011, when the Obama administration and NATO backed an uprising against the longtime leader Muammar Gaddafi, setting off years of war. The catastrophic floods in Libya were triggered by Storm Daniel, a rare hurricane-like cyclone in the Mediterranean known as a metacane. It's the same storm that brought unprecedented flooding to Greece, Turkey, and Bulgaria last week. In Greece, public health officials are warning residents against using stagnant flood water amidst fears over the spread of disease, while supplies of clean drinking water remain scarce. Nearly a quarter of this year's crop production was lost to flooding in Greece's central agriculture-producing region. In Morocco, hopes of finding survivors of last Friday's devastating earthquake are fading. As the government said, the death toll is near 3,000. The United Nations says at least 300,000 people have been affected by the quake, a third of them children. Here in the United States, the number of major climate-related disasters so far this year has already set records. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, said Monday 23 separate weather and climate disasters have caused at least $1 billion in damages from January to August, surpassing the previous record set in all of 2020. In Geneva, the United Nations top human rights official said Monday, wealthy nations are failing to take steps needed to prevent the worst effects of the climate catastrophe. Volker Türk spoke to the UN Human Rights Council after the G20 wrapped up a weekend summit in India with no commitment to